sister, friend, or brother loves the way that Jesus can. He proved his love for me when he died on Calvary. He gave his life for fallen men. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches out and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last through all eternity. Jesus wants to love you. There is none above you. You are precious in his sight. He will never fail you when the doubts assail you. He'll be with you day and night. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches out and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last through all eternity. A boundless love, and it reaches out and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last for all eternity.
You got the handout there, so we're going to, I don't have a lot of time, I got a little over 20 minutes because we want to have a little prayer meeting here, and I want to finish. This was our summer series, and it's kind of extended itself into the fall, and it's kind of fitting we finished tonight because it kind of felt like summer outside tonight. How many of you noticed that, right? A little bit warm. Okay, you can read through the other 9 commandments there, and I want to talk about the last commandment. Okay? Commandment number 10. Don't want what someone else has. Don't want what someone else has. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shall not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We are selfish, born that way. That's just how it is. And it starts early in life, wanting, and wanting what others have. You ever notice children don't do really well at sharing? On Monday, we're going to take all the grandkids out. We're going to go to one of these churches and get some free candy. That didn't work out, so we went to just some of our neighbor's house to get candy. And Ellie is 2, and she's kind of shy and not, you know, she's afraid of a lot of things. She's real quiet. But after she got the first candy, the phrase was this: more candy. She was running across people's lawns. I'm like, don't walk on their grass. She didn't listen. I noticed that she had twice as much candy as Jason. And I'm like, they're the same places. How did that happen? Well, then I saw her at one of the houses. They, you know, you look so sweet. And they reached down, and while they were giving her something out of the bowl, she just put her left hand in and grabbed a handful and helped herself. Okay. I saw her today. I'm like, hey, you want more candy? It's like, more candy. So that's how we are with hers. A little bit easier to see. As adults, we hide it a little bit easier, a little bit better, don't we? But selfishness is kind of inbred in us. What happens is, if our wants are out of control and unchecked, we start to desire and take pleasure in what others have. And that leads to envy. And we want what we see that others have. And that's why, if we're not careful, coveting can be a very close companion to thou shalt not steal. We don't want to take that which belongs to another. But this verse isn't saying don't take that which belongs to another. It's deeper than that. It says don't even desire what belongs to another. That's a whole different thing. To say thou shalt not steal is easy. That's an action. You're going and taking it from that person. Thou, don't bear false witness, don't lie. That's But this is internal. Don't want what somebody else has. It focuses not on actions, but on attitudes. It doesn't focus on what we do. Get this. It focuses on what we want to do. By the way, if you get to the New Testament, that was Jesus. You know, thou shalt not kill, but if you hate your brother in your heart, that is murder. You know, don't commit adultery, but if you lust in your heart, that is adultery. And so this is a step up, really, if you think about it, from some of the others. This commandment, and I think this might be in your paper, deals with desire. It's all about our desires that are unchecked. Of all of the neighbor-related commands, this one is the only one that our neighbor really doesn't see. In other words, we could be guilty of this towards somebody, and they're not going to see it. They're not even going to know we're guilty of it because it's inward. And so we need to be careful. Really, if you think about it, this command is really the most revealing and devastating of the commands because it's dealing now with the inward nature of the law, not the outward. Okay? All these other ones, for the most part, there is some inward to it, but a lot of them deal with a bunch of outward things. Now, we understand the outward all starts on the inward, but this one is dealing specifically with inward actions. Coveting is distinct. It's different than the other commands. Really, the other ones all deal with observable behavior, that what you can see somebody doing. You can see them violating these commands. You may not see somebody. Somebody may not see you violating this command. And so we need to be careful. Martin Luther, the reformer, said that the 10th commandment is not addressed to those whom the world would consider wicked rogues, but to the most upright, people who want to be commended as honest and virtuous because they have not offended the other commands. And that's true. This is one that could that someone who outwardly looks right and maybe has some of the right actions and not, but they can struggle with this one on the inward, and so we need to be careful. Look at the verses there in Psalms. This is Asaph, the song director. He was basically over the music in the temple, very high position. He struggled with this when he saw others. So you could read the whole psalm, but we'll just look at the verses 2-5. He says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. Talking about his life, how he was living. My steps had well nigh slipped. So I almost lost it as a believer. I almost lost it in my godliness. Why? For I was envious at the foolish. He envied those who God would consider fools. Not fools because they have an IQ that's low, but fool because they're disobeying God's commands. I was envious when I saw the foolish. How did it start? When I saw the prosperity of the wicked. What caused that? Because he was looking at those who didn't love God, who didn't know God, and he was looking at what they had, their stuff, their prosperity. Verse 4, for there are no bands in their, then he's confused now, there are no bands in their dearth, in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Now, none of that's true. They have problems just like everybody else, but it's masked by the fact that they have this prosperity, and because he got his eyes off of it, he had an inward problem with those that were prosperous, that didn't know God, and he said it almost caused him to get away from God. That's what covetousness can do. So let me give you a few thoughts in the few minutes we have left here. Number one, of course, the problem in this commandment is just covetousness. It's just that's what it is. We'll explain that. The 10th commandment, now listen, does not forbid us from desiring the blessings of God or the fruit of human labor. There's nothing wrong if God blesses you. There's nothing wrong if you're a giving, loving, obedient Christian and you work hard and God blesses you, or because you work hard, you have some. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that type of thing. Because you're working hard. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. It condemns desiring what belongs to others, their blessings, the fruit of their effort. Okay? The Bible calls this covetousness. Covet, the word covet literally means to desire greatly, to take pleasure in. When we're coveting something somebody else has, we're taking pleasure in that and we're desiring that inwardly, even though it's not ours. So we desire after it. Specifically, we desire after that which belongs to another. The line we know well is that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, right? But you have to understand something. That is somebody else's grass. And not the kind of grass you're thinking about right now, okay? Well, look on the other side of the fence. They have nice grass. It's theirs. It's not yours. And by the way, we don't know the whole story of everything. But the reason it's so bad is because covetousness is a form of idolatry. Because it puts its inward focus on the object it desires, not on God. That, look, so you're making this, well, let's look at Colossians. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he's mentioning them. These things that you get involved with that are wrong. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and then those all sound really bad. And covetousness. Whoa, that's internal. But what does he say? The last three words. Which is idolatry. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait. How can desiring and wanting something be idolatry? We looked at idolatry earlier. By the way, I hope if you've been in church any amount of time, you understand that in our time and in the New Testament, idolatry isn't bowing down to Buddha or some idol or something like that. It's an inward thing. Covetousness is anything we put ahead of God. Idolatry is anything we put ahead of God. So covetousness is idolatry because when we covet, we are putting ourselves ahead of God and we're putting things ahead of God. That desire that just is too strong for us. By the way, advertisement makes a living on creating this in the customer's heart. We thrive on materialism. They show you some lame thing and it's like you can't live without this. And then you're like, they make it look so good. It's like, I can't live without this thing. Then you walk away and then you buy it and it's like, you know, I could have lived without this thing. That's why they sell a lot of things with salesmen, because salesmen are there to create that inside of you. So we need to be very careful. It's not just new to our society, covetousness. No, we're just better at creating a desire for it. Remember Achan in the Old Testament. God said, you take over Jericho, you can't get anything. And he saw, I believe, was it a wedge of gold and a Babylonian-ish garment? And what else was there? Something else. By the way, those were things that he coveted, the Bible says, and he took. And God said, don't take it or you're going to be in trouble. Those were things he took he couldn't even use. I mean, look, if they would have went into Jericho and then he comes out and he's wearing this nice Babylonian garment, they just left Egypt. They did this kind of the prompt. It's like, where'd you get that, man? You know, it says right here, made in the back, made in Babylon. Where in the world did that come from? You know, Babylon Republic. I don't know. Listen, he could not wear it. He had to bury it in the ground. It did him no good. But that coveting for it. And by the way, he paid for it. And so did his family. It's okay, though, to want something that it's right and if you're willing to work hard to get it. But covetousness wants the results others have, not the actions that produce them. I want what you have. Okay, then go get a job. Work hard. Okay? Be faithful to God and all the things you're supposed to be. And if you can get it after you're doing all that, fine. But don't just want something because someone else has it. And covetousness is blinding. So we have to be careful. He mentioned several things specifically about covetousness here. Okay? He mentions a better place to live. Neighbor's house. By the way, and you do this, it's between you and God, but how many people like, well, I want to own a house, and I can't own a house here, so I want to go, I heard houses are cheap in Wichita. You know why houses are cheap in Wichita? Because it's Wichita. Wichita. Okay? No one wants to live there. It's like, so you'll uproot your family just to get a house somewhere far away. There may not even be a good church. God may not even want you there just because you can get a house. And there's probably someone here today who's like, man, I was thinking of moving to Wichita. The name alone just kills you, right? I don't know. But I'm just saying, we have to do this. Or what else happens? We get into a house we can't afford. So we stretch ourselves out, and we go into this debt because we can't. And so covetousness can kill us. We want a better spouse. Okay, so I don't have one. Well, good. Then you can get the right one to start with. By the way, when you see people only casually, you don't see them at who they really are. So, well, you don't understand. You know, my spouse has weaknesses. So do you. Get over it. By the way, that person you wish you had instead of your spouse, they have weaknesses too. You just haven't seen it yet. So go ahead and trade that one in for that one, and guess what? That one's just like this one. Because people have a tendency to be attracted to the same type of person. Problem is, you're not working on it. Problem is, just deal with it, okay? Work it out. Well, you know, that one just seems perfect. You know what her husband is thinking? That one over there just seems perfect, okay? Work on what you have. By the way, 15-second commercial. Couples retreat. 2 weeks. An opportunity to go and be alone and just make things better, okay? But a better spouse, he mentions that. Covet your neighbor's wife, okay? By the way, what you may have, and not just with spouse, but whatever, what you have may be better than what you think. And may is probably not the strong enough term. It's probably better than what you think. Yeah, but everything's always better. What we don't have is always better, isn't it? Until we get it. Or what you could be, or what you could have could be better than what you think. You can just work on what you have, and it'll be better than where you're at right now. We want better possessions. Better possessions. That's just the stuff. All that stuff he mentions, and you say, what about, you know, donkeys and oxen? That was money making opportunity. That helped them. That was a financial blessing. Now those were important, and we see things other people have. And then Jesus says, just better anything. Okay. Number two, and we're done. Give me a couple minutes, we'll be done. The prescription. So we saw the problem of the commandment. The is covetousness. Now the prescription for this commandment is contentment. Contentment is the complete opposite of covetousness. Okay? Opposite of white is black. The opposite of right is wrong. The opposite of covetousness is contentment. Contentment is desiring something you don't have. Contentment is being satisfied with that which you do have. If we are to say no to covetousness, we must learn to say yes to contentment. What is contentment? I think you have the right there. Contentment is realizing that God has already provided everything I need for my present and future happiness. You have all you need right now. Okay? Say, well, you know, it would be nice to have a better car. Okay, great. Would nice have a bigger place? Okay, great. But let me just tell you something. If you can't be content and happy with what you have now, you wouldn't be content and happy if you got something else. Because that's an attitude. But the good thing is this. If you are content with where you're at now, if something else better does come along, you'll be able to still be content then. Okay? But our discontentment is, that becomes who we are. And it becomes this constant desire for more, 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 more. That's discontent. Let me give you Look at the verse there. Let your conversation, manner of life, be without covetousness. Okay? How do we do that? And be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The reason you can be content with where you're at, what you have now, if you're living for God, is because he's there with you and he's along for the ride and he'll take care of you along the path. Amen. You say, well, I don't have a God along in my life. Well, then you probably are going to have some issues. But he's there. He's with us. He ain't going to leave you. He's in on it. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. So if our contentment comes in our relationship with him and what he's taking care of us, that will never change and we won't lose it, no matter where we're at. Let me just give you a couple things about contentment. We're done. Letter A. Contentment is contrary to human nature and must be learned. Okay? Now, Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want. Want means lack. Okay? For I have, key word there, learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, he's not talking states like Washington or Texas, okay? He's talking about where they're at specifically right then in their life. What's going on in their life? Because whatever's going on in my life, wherever I'm at right now, I have learned to be content. That means that there was a time he wasn't content. He had to learn it. It's not easy. You have to sit there and realize, you know what? God is in control. And if he's in control and I'm seeking to obey him and I'm following him, then that means I'm where I'm supposed to be right now and I can be content in that. Okay? Paul had to learn it. Why spend life wasting your energy focusing on what you don't have when you could be enjoying what you do have? That's what most people do, you know. Well, you know, I'd be happier if I had this, this, or this. You don't have this or this or this. All you have is what you have. So why not strive to be joyful and happy with what you have now? You can't change those things. Why be miserable? Instead of wanting what somebody else has, God has given to someone else, learn to be content in what he has graciously given to you. Amen. And let me just say this, with things and all the stuff, you don't know the backstory. Okay? Well, I look at that person, and they seems like things are going well, and they have all this stuff, and that's making them happy. You don't know what's going on in the background. And by the way, you don't need to know what's going on in the background. It's none of your business. Just worry about what God's doing in your life. Amen. That's the best thing. B, contentment begins by knowing the purpose of life. The purpose of life isn't stuff, things, accumulation of wealth. That's not life. Okay? It's not. Luke 12:15, and he said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he has. Years and years ago, it's not around anymore, but it used to be this phrase that was real popular. He that dies with the most toys wins. Really? He who dies with the most toys is dead. His wife wins. Okay? That's how that works. You're not taking those toys with you. And when you meet God, you're going to wish you had something more than toys. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Knowing him is really the biggest part of life. If you know God and you desire to grow and to know him, the things of life will take care of itself. Okay? Letter C. Contentment requires distinguishing between wants and needs. Needs and wants. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Why? Because you got to have those things. A Maserati, that's optional. Okay? And by the way, you can only, those things are small, aren't they? You can only like squeeze one other person in there. Unless you put someone in the trunk, I don't know. Okay? Now, so contentment is, what's a need? A need is an essential to life. A want is something that would be nice to have, but it's not essential to life. And so, you need to distinguish between those, and I'm going to have you read the verses because we have to be out here on time. And then letter D, contentment is learning to live within our means. You see, if we don't distinguish between needs and wants, I taught in our high school, I used to teach economics. Economics is all about we all have unlimited wants, but we have finite resources. In other words, our desires are a lot more than our resources to buy those desires. So what is economics? How we use our limited resources against our unlimited desires, choices we make. Okay, that's one of the foundationals. So if that's out of control, then we don't live within our means. That's where we go to plastic. By the way, interest rates are very high on plastic. Okay, if you use a credit card, you know, and you get the points back and all that, and the cash back, and then you pay it at the end of the month, and you're not paying interest. If you don't have the discipline to do it, don't do that. Okay, you're gonna get yourself into trouble. And so covetousness. Let's pray.